verse of Scripture we would like to consider this morning is verse 14 of Galatians chapter 6. And Paul declares to the believers at Galatia, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." In this letter to the saints in the church at Galatia, the Apostle Paul made it abundantly clear that the Judaizers who were seeking to influence the church there in Galatia were perverting the gospel of Christ. They who taught that circumcision was essential to salvation were perverting the gospel according to Paul. And he does not mince his words when he deals with the false prophets. For he says in the opening chapter and verse 7, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." As we said before, so say I now again, If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And Paul had reminded the believers that according to the gospel which he preached, men were saved by grace alone, and were justified, sanctified, glorified by and through the gospel that he had preached unto them. Chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Again, chapter 6 in our reading, and verse 15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Paul says the only thing that matters is the new birth. Have you experienced the new birth? Have you been saved by grace, justified by faith? And Paul says any gospel that is preached that does not preach salvation by grace, Paul says it is not a gospel. Cannot even call it a gospel. So it is today. Any man that preaches a message that does not declare salvation by grace, that man is not preaching the gospel. As he closes this epistle to those who had been bewitched by these false prophets, by these Judaizers, Paul sounds out a final warning. A warning against these false teachers. He exposes their motives and he attacks their falseness, the falseness of their teaching and their doctrine. In this last chapter, he exposes their cunning. Look at verse 12. There in verse 12 of our chapter 6, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. The apostle makes it clear that the Judaizers were not interested in the spiritual welfare of the Galatian saints. On the contrary, they were only concerned about themselves, about their own honor, and about their own ease. They were not prepared to embrace Christ for fear of persecution. They were not prepared to stand up and be counted, lest they would suffer for the cause of Christ. Instead, they held fast to the law of Moses, emphasizing the necessity of circumcision, and indeed placing more emphasis upon circumcision than upon the cross work of Christ. That was their glory. Their glory was the law of Moses. Paul says, my glory is the cross of Christ. This they wanted the Galatian saints to do also. Believer, every brand of false doctrine, and we emphasized this a few weeks ago when we were again studying the word from Paul from Galatians. Every brand of false doctrine, if adhered to, will lead men not to Christ, not to the cross, but away from Christ and away from the cross. Because false teaching will focus not on Christ and his all-sufficient work and sacrifice at Calvary, but on something much of much less importance. The true gospel of Christ will always focus on Christ. It will always direct our gaze to him. It will always lead us to the Savior. Never away from him. So we see the cunning of the Judaizers as exposed by Paul. We notice also that they were cowardly. They were a cowardly bunch. They were not prepared to suffer the reproach of persecution which would come with embracing the Lord Jesus and the gospel of Christ. Paul says that they will, many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be crucified only, lest they should suffer persecution. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And if the false teachers had their way in the Galatian church, the believers there would soon be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They would soon be ashamed of the cross work of Christ. And they would soon become like the Judaizers themselves, the cowards that they were. The acceptance of false doctrine never leads to strong Christian conviction. Never. That's why this land is full of compromisers. Because they sit under a compromising message. And Christ is not preached and the cross is not preached. People don't seem to have conviction anymore. Paul of conviction. Paul said to the Galatians, he It says you want to glory in circumcision. You want to glory in the law of Moses. My glory is in the cross of Christ. God forbid, Paul says. Here's the prayer of Paul. Paul is praying. He's praying, Lord, keep me from ever glorying in anything else but the cross. Don't allow me to glory in anything else but the cross of Christ. So he exposes their cunning and their and how cowardly they were. He also exposes their carnality. It was a carnal bunch that had wormed its way into the church at Galatia and had caused Paul so much distress and concern. For Paul says in verse 13 of chapter 6, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Oh, they want you to keep it, but they won't keep it. Paul says, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. They wanted to be able to boast and say, oh, we have got some of those believers in the Galatian church to come over to our side. They have turned their back on the teaching of that Apostle Paul. They have come over to our side. That's all they were interested in. They weren't interested in the spiritual well-being or the spiritual welfare of the saints. They just wanted to chalk up numbers. Say, we've got them over to our side. And Paul says they're carnal. They want you to keep the law, but they'll not keep the law themselves. They're like the old Pharisees that the Lord Jesus exposed and John the Baptist exposed. Matthew 23. There the Lord spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, verse 2, Matthew 23, the scribes, the Pharisees, sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Oh, they burden others, but they'll not carry the same burdens. They'll exhort others to keep the law, but they themselves the Lord exposed it, and that's why the Pharisees hated Christ. They hated to hear the truth. And here Paul exposes the Judaizers. It sought to win back, to turn back the Galatian saints, and to turn them away from the finished work of Christ. And to tell them and teach them there was something more to be done. Paul didn't believe that for a moment, and Paul didn't preach that. Paul says, you glory in whatever you want to glory in, but God forbid that I should glory. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What a tremendous statement. And as we consider these words this morning, let us be able to say with Paul, God forbid that I should glory. May it be our testimony. May it be our witness. May it be our conviction. God forbid that I should glory. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be able to go on and say, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. first of all, regarding Paul's glory. Paul glories in the magnificence of the cross. The magnificence of the cross. When the apostle said that he gloried in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was, of course, speaking about the work of the cross. His glory was not in a piece of wood, but his glory was in a great work. His glory was in what had taken place on the cross, what had been done on the cross. And religionists today miss the point. Religionists today have their eyes on that piece of wood. They wear the cross as some kind of decoration. Someone once said to me that the cross is not to be worn. The cross is to be borne. We're to take up our cross and follow Christ. Those who know the Lord look beyond the wood. They don't see the wood, they see the work. Paul is referring to the great work of redemption, the great act of substitution, the atonement. That's what he gloried in. So when he prayed, God forbid that I should glory, he was praying, Lord, let me not glory in anything else. Don't allow me to glory in anything else but the cross work of Christ. Must be something quite magnificent then. Paul saw something quite magnificent in the cross of Calvary that caused him to glory in that cross. Through the eyes of Paul, Paul saw first of all the value of we see from these words the high value the apostle put on the cross work of Christ. Oh, to the Jews. What was the cross work to the Jews? It was a stumbling block. They didn't expect their promised Messiah to make a Roman gibbet his throne. They would not want to be associated with such an emblem of suffering and shame. It was a stumbling block. And Paul says, the cross is no stumbling block to me. The cross is my glory. I glory in this magnificent work. I place a high value on what took place on the cross. To the Greeks, why, the cross work of Christ was foolishness. Now, the word foolishness means folly. To them it was foolishness, it was folly. To go out and preach the cross work. To have men and women believe that their lives could be changed by looking to that cross and accepting what had been done there by the one who was known as Jesus of Nazareth. Foolishness. Yet Paul makes it known to the Galatians, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. To you it may be a stumbling block, to others it may be foolishness, but to me it is my all. See what value the cross put upon the work of Calvary when we see, first of all, that he refuses to glory himself. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. The word glory means to boast. God forbid that I should boast save in the cross. The cross is all my boast and all my glory. When you look at Paul, Paul had many things he could have boasted in, or gloried in and boasted of. He could have boasted in his parentage. For when writing to the believers at Philippi, he said that he was of the tribe of Benjamin and Hebrew of the Hebrews. He could have gloried in his past. For he said concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. It was all in his past. He could have gloried in that. But no, he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All these things that I used to glory in, all these things that were my boast, what are they to me now? They're nothing. They are but dung. My glory is now in Christ. My glory is now in His finished work. Paul also could have gloried in his pain. He could have made much of what he had suffered for the cause of Christ. For in 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 25, there he speaks about what he had suffered. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, and so on. And he goes on and on. He goes on to tell what pains he had suffered. But he gloried not in what he had suffered. His glory was in what one other person had suffered. His glory was in what Christ had suffered. He gloried in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He had suffered at Calvary. And that's why He says, God forbid that I should glory in my parents. God forbid that I should glory in my past. God forbid that I should glory in my pain. God forbid that I should glory in my privileges. You think of the great privileges Paul had. He tells us about one of them in 2 Corinthians 12 when he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. What a privilege. Caught up into paradise. No other apostle was able to say they were caught up into paradise. But Paul was. What privilege were afforded Paul? And yet Paul says, of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. No, I'm not going to glory in my privileges. My glory is in the cross. And oh, dear child of God, let us follow in Paul's footsteps. For the cross, believer, is all our glory. What are we without the cross work? Where would we be without the cross work? It's our glory today. You notice also that he refuses, not only refuses to glory in self, but he restricts his glorying in his Savior. He restricts it. That is, he restricts his boasting to what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Oh, there were many things that Paul could glory in with regard to the Lord Jesus. He could have gloried in the incarnation of Christ. And I have no doubt at times he did. He rejoiced in the coming of the Lord into the world as God manifest in flesh. After all, the angels gloried in the incarnation of Christ. They sang glory to God in the highest. He might have gloried in the life of Christ, for no one ever lived as Christ did. For his life was holy and harmless and undefiled. Separate from sinners, he might have gloried in the resurrection. He might have gloried in the ascension. He might have gloried in the promise of his return. But Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He glories in that which is most assailed by its enemies. The cross work. The focus of the world's derision. The cross work. The cross work. Paul says that's what I glory in. Because I'm nothing without the cross work. I'm doomed without the cross work. I'm damned without the cross. That's why it's my glory. Oh, the value of the cross work. Oh, the magnificence of the cross work of Christ. And here Paul places it above everything else. Notice not only the value that he puts on the cross work of Christ. And it was a magnificent work. And he gloried in the cross because of the value of it. He gloried in the cross because of the victim on it. What does he say? He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Three crosses were erected that day on Calvary. Three crosses stood on Golgotha's brow. But Paul says, my glory is in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here is seen the magnificence of the cross because hanging on that center tree is royalty. Hanging on that center tree is deity. Hanging on that center tree is majesty. Paul says, that's why I glory. For the one who hung upon that center tree is not only the King of the Jews, he's the King of kings, he's the Lord of lords, he's the God-man. Paul says, I glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet how came that King to be there? How did it come about that God manifest in flesh was nailed to that tree? Well, if Pilate had not bowed to the wishes of the angry mob, a murderer would have been nailed to that. Barabbas would have been nailed to that tree. But when the people cried out regarding who they would release, they said, not this man, but Barabbas. Let Barabbas go free. So when the news was brought down to that prison cell, that hole in the ground to Barabbas, and he heard the heavy footprint and march of the Roman soldiers, he believed his end had come. It was the day of his death. He must now be crucified. He must now be put to death. Then the soldiers come in. And they say, Barabbas, you're a free man. Jesus of Nazareth will die in your
Jesus Christ that day became substitute. Substitute for a murderer and a rebel.
We see the Lord Jesus as our substitute. As our substitute. Because we were rebels. And we had the heart of a murderer.
And when we look to that cross, we see Christ as our substitute. Dying in our room instead. And we say with Paul, God forbid that I should glory. I have nothing else to glory in the light of Calvary. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul believed in the substitutionary death of Christ because Paul preached the substitutionary death of Christ in Romans 5 and 6. When we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for. The word for means in place of.
Christ died in our place. There's the substitutionary death of Christ. And again in Romans 5, verse 8, Paul proclaimed, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died in place of us. He was our substitute. Paul could not look at that cross without thinking about the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus and how Christ had taken His place. He had stood by and watched Stephen been stoned to death. He who had persecuted the church. He who had gone into homes and arrested men and women, trailing them from their homes and from their children, and committing them to prison. Paul says that Christ, that same Christ, died for me. Became my substitute. Took my place. Where? On the cross. He suffered my punishment. Where? On the cross. He paid the price of my sin. Where? On the cross. No wonder Paul then said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear child of God, as we gather around the table today, may by faith we gather around the cross. And maybe look afresh to that center tree and see the one who was our substitute. That's why we sang today, when I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. Save in the death of Christ my Lord, all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to Thy blood. Through Paul's eyes, he saw the value of the cross and the victim on the cross. He also gloried in the cross work because of the victory of the cross. At first, his followers saw the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus as a terrible defeat. But a more glorious victory could not be recorded anywhere than the victory of Calvary. Oh, the disciples saw their master, their Lord, their King, nailed to the cross. giving up the ghost, being taken down by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and placed in a grave. All their world had come to an end. What a terrible defeat.
No, not a terrible defeat. What a glorious victory.
And Paul looked at the cross. He saw the victory of Calvary. He saw the victory of the cross. For there's victory in the Word of Christ. Seven sayings came from the lips of the Savior as He hung there upon that cross. One word sounds the victory song. It is finished. Or as it is in the original, just one word. Finished! Does that not declare the victory? Does that not sound out the victory? Does that not shout out the victory? Tis finished, the Messiah dies for sins but not his own. The great redemption is complete and Satan's power is overthrown. There's victory. That's why he glories. Tis finished, all his groans are past. His blood, his pain and toils, and fully vanquished all our foes and crowned him with their spoils. There's victory. That's why he glories. 'Tis finished, legal worship ends and gospel ages run. All old things now are passed away. A new world. Paul was teaching these Galatians. He was telling them, you're saved. There's nothing to be added to that great work. It's finished. It's done. The battle has been fought. And the victory has been won. It's finished. Oh, God forbid that I should see it in the cross, because that cross work speaks to me not of defeat, but of victory. Victory in the Word of Christ. Victory in the work of Christ. The great work of redemption was now complete. The cross to the Jews was a stumbling block. The cross to the Jews was a means of removing one whom they regarded as an impostor. Crucify him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar. Shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. The means that they had of removing this impostor. And yet, the cross of Calvary, and it was on the cross of Calvary that the greatest work that God ever did, the greatest work that God ever did, that's where it was done. Yes, a great work was done when He summons the worlds out of nothing and brought them into being. That was a great work. And it was a great work when He summons the stars and put them in their places and called them every one by name. That was a great work. But I tell you, a far greater work was done. That place called Calvary. The work of satisfying the demands of a holy God. The work of paying the price of sin, the work of opening up that way back to God, the work of reconciling fallen man with a holy God, the work of rescuing the perishing, liberating the prisoners, making rich the poor. We who were poor are now rich today. We have access to the riches of His glory, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That great work of purchasing His church, that great work of saving His elect, and it was all save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there was victory in the wounds of Christ. How blessed were those five bleeding wounds. From those wounds flowed life-giving blood, soul-saving blood, sin-cleansing blood, devil-defeating blood. There's victory. Blood that redeems us. Blood that justifies us. Blood that sanctifies us. Blood that secures us in Christ forever. How often, believer, have we pleaded the blood and we have gained the victory through the blood? I remember the dear lady who used to attend meetings, the church that I was the minister of and attended for years. And every now and again she would stay behind and she would be troubled because she felt she had committed the unpardonable sin. And we tried to reassure her again and again and again. We used to say, look, if you committed the unpardonable sin, you would have no desire to be in the house of God. You would have no desire to hear the word. You would have no desire to worship God. But she just couldn't get the victory. And it troubled her again and again. When this lady stayed behind, you knew what she was going to talk to you. I remember conducting a gospel mission a few miles from the church. And this lady attended faithfully every night. And one night she stayed behind again, fearing she'd committed the unpardonable sin. And I said to her, look, we've gone over this I don't know how many times. Let's get before God. And I want you to plead the blood. And I want you to plead the blood over this matter. And ask the Lord to give you the victory through the blood. And she prayed that night. And she pleaded the blood. And she had no more trouble. There's victory through the blood of the Lamb. And Paul could see it. And Paul believed it. Paul experienced it. And that's why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood of Christ, the speaking blood. Speaks better things than that of people. I must go very quickly, and we see Paul glories in the message of the cross. If ever a man preached the cross of Christ, it was Paul. If ever a man rejoiced in preaching the cross of Christ, it was the Apostle Paul. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was his glory in his preaching. And the Galatians were aware of this. For they had experienced his preaching of the cross. I already quoted or read those words in Galatians 1. For he says in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you
and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached. And what was that gospel? There it is. We preach Christ crucified. It's the cross.
Wherever he went, he preached the cross. He wasn't ashamed to preach the gospel in Rome, for he says it's the power of God unto salvation. And to the Corinthians he said, we preach Christ crucified. And then to the Ephesians, he told them that they were reconciled by the blood of the cross. To the Philippians, he told them that Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He told the Colossians that Christ made peace for them through the blood of the cross. And to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. I read those words over and over again. I thought to myself, what preaching? Look at them again. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. What do those words mean? Those words mean that when Paul preached the cross, he preached it so powerfully and painted the picture so vividly that it was as if the cross had been set up in the very midst of the congregation. It was as if the cross was right there. It was as if they could see it all. When Paul preached the cross, the Galatians could hear the dull blow. The hammer swung low as they nailed their Savior to the tree. When Paul preached the cross, they could see the crown of thorns. They could see the nails. And they could see the blood flow. When Paul preached the cross, they could hear. They could hear. Paul preached the cross. The Galatians were sitting with the Roman soldiers. They sat down and they watched them there. That's how Paul preached. For when Paul preached the cross, the eyes of the people were on before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Oh, to preach like that. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently crucified. Because he gloried in the cross. Man glories in the cross, that's how he'll preach. He gloried in the preaching of the cross, he gloried in the power of the cross. What did he say to the Romans? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of the cross, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's why we glory today in the cross. It's a great message. It's the power of God. Why would we want anything else?
the power of God unto salvation.
Oh, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Sure it is.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hallelujah. The power of God. Paul gloried in the cross because of the power of the cross, and he preached the cross. He gloried in the persecutions associated with the cross. We've already mentioned that. Romans 5 verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. All the tribulations that came his way because he preached the cross. Paul didn't shun them. I'll accept them. Anything that comes my way by way of the cross, I'll glory. Finally, Paul glories in the ministry of the cross. For he says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You notice something? At Calvary, there were three crosses. In this text, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one. By whom the world is crucified. There's two. And I unto the world. There's three. Three were put to death that day at Calvary. Three were put to death on Golgotha that day. And when Paul looked to the cross of Christ, the dying Lamb of God, and he embraced the Lord Jesus, Paul died that day. And the world died that day. The world was crucified to Paul. And there we see that as far as Paul was concerned, the world lost its appeal. The world was dead. The world had lost its appeal. It was dead. And Paul had lost his appetite for the world. For he says, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I'm dead to the world. The world holds no charms for me. Christ has all my heart. Christ has me. Christ has everything of me. He said to the believers at Philippi, for to me to live is Christ. To die. Told the Galatians earlier on in this letter that he was crucified with Christ. He says, I don't live, but it's Christ who liveth in me. Oh, for a life like that. And oh, believer, let us today glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed.